What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are closed because I want to get through all of the stuff about 9/11 here. And as I was saying before we went to the station break, in the months after 9/11, remember they had this list of these are who the hijackers were, and it turned out at least seven of them were still alive. One of them was actually a pilot for the Saudi Airlines who sued the U.S. government for defamation. And in the autopsies, the results from the airplanes, one of the airplanes, they couldn't identify any Arab DNA at all. Now, Donald Trump was actually interviewed on 9/11, about 9/11, and he said he thought explosives had to have been used. Now, this is a guy who, despite his shortcomings as president, he does know what it takes to build a building. And so the man who is now the president of the United States of America thought explosives had to have been used to bring down the World Trade Towers. Now, Larry Silverstein, lucky Larry Silverstein, everybody thought he was out of his mind when he fought to get the lease on the World Trade Center because it was losing money hand over fist. It had a very high vacancy rate, and even worse, it was facing an EPA-mandated renovation to get rid of the asbestos used in its construction. And these renovations had already bankrupted the companies that owned other buildings in that part of town. And so everybody thought Larry was just out of his mind, working as hard as he did to get that lease. And then lucky Larry, the terrorists come on in, they knock down the buildings, the taxpayers pay for the cleanup of all that asbestos. And it turns out he was already planning for a new World Trade Center in April of 2000, was working on the blueprints. Now, another odd little thing that happened on that day is that somebody massively short-sold the stocks of the airlines that were involved in the impact, figuring that their stock price would plummet, which it did. And whoever it was, they never found out because somebody got cold feet at the last second and refused, basically never showed up to claim their earnings here. Another one had to do with a major financial company that was in one of the World Trade Towers. And just before the plane hit, there was an overseas order to transfer a huge amount of money. And the money went flying out over the wires here. The plane hit, the building collapsed, the computers were destroyed, and everybody said, oh, gee, we'll never know where all that money went. Well, then it turned out there was this company in Europe that said they could reconstruct the data from those hard drives, even though they'd been severely abused in the collapse of the tower. And they were starting to do the work when they were purchased, and the reconstruction of the World Trade Tower disks was basically shelved. So a lot of money was floating around there in the background here. So the official story is that three steel frame buildings were brought down by office fires. Now, you need to understand, those towers were built to withstand an aircraft impact because there had been instances before the Empire State Building was struck by a B-25. And even though Manhattan is a no-fly zone, the building was designed to survive the impact of an aircraft, which they did. Both buildings survived the initial impact. And they didn't collapse until sometime in history. And this is the only time that you've seen a steel high-rise building collapse supposedly because of fire. Before 9/11, it had never happened. Since 9/11, it has never happened. Out in Los Angeles a few years prior, the First Interstate Bank building in downtown L.A. burned right down to the frame and did not collapse. So it's another little oddity. The official story is, well, this one time, yes, it happened. You know, these really horrendous, horrendous fires. And they're saying all that jet fuel burning melted the steel. Well, jet fuel doesn't burn hot enough to melt steel. otherwise the aircraft would fall out of the sky. But the claim that there was an inferno is contradicted by the witness statements. In World Trade Center 1, George Slay was at work, and he was in his little cubicle. And basically, the first plane hit basically on the 91st floor. And the bulk of the plane's fuselage entered the building about 100 feet south of them. The plane's left wing banked toward the ground, wiped out the east side of the floor, but the plane's right wing banked toward the sky, sliced through the office above. And basically, he survived. And according to the Los Angeles Times, you know, Slay was buried under a pile of ceiling tiles and bookshelves. His colleagues were fine, as surprised that they were still alive as they were that a plane had crashed into the building. And they dug Slay out, and they all escaped unscathed. This was reported in the Los Angeles Times. Over on World Trade Center 2, there was no inferno. And this is a story about a Mr. Prem Nath and the plane impacted the floor he was on, and yet he only saw flames flickering about. The World Trade Center floors were open plan. There were no solid walls. Now, if the official count of the infernos, 800 degree centigrade inferno, were true, nobody would have survived on that floor. I mean, there are photos and videos of people looking out the holes made by the planes and, you know, waving to people on the ground. So what really did bring the buildings down? Well, the most likely theory is that it was brought down as a standard demolition using shaped charges and thermite. And this is backed up by this rather well-known photo of a first responder basically standing on the record. He's a fireman. He's talking on a radio. And behind him, you can see the load-bearing members of the World Trade Towers, and they are all carrying these diagonal scars with melted metal all over them, which is exactly what you would see in a thermite controlled demolition to cut the load-bearing members. So, as you know, there's been this new study done by the University of Alaska and partnered with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, which basically says World Trade Center 7 could not have been brought down by fire. Remember, it was not hit by an aircraft. And they're saying 4 years of computer modeling have conclusively proven that World Trade Center 7 had to be brought down by the nearly simultaneous collapse of every single one of its support columns. And that is a controlled demolition. Now, interestingly enough, a lot of people, surprisingly, at first didn't even know there was a third building involved. The official 9/11 report talks about World Trade Center Tower 1 and Tower 2, doesn't even mention Building 7. There was an addendum that was prepared, and there was a big court fight to get it added to the official report on 9/11. And the court said, yes, it's got to be distributed with the 9/11 report, but it never was. They simply threw the books away of the addendum. And so as a result, most Americans didn't even see the collapse of Building 7. But somebody went on out and did a survey. It was YouGov on behalf of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And after seeing the video footage of Building 7 coming down from four different angles, the majority of Americans doubt the official story. And 21% still think the official story is true. 27% said they're not sure. But 52% said, yeah, they think the official story is a bunk. So we're winning. We're winning the battle for truth here. Now, one of the interesting aspects about Building 7, of course, is the fact that BBC reported on the collapse of the building something like 26 minutes before it actually happened. there is a very famous video of the BBC reporter standing at the window of another building nearby, reporting on the attacks on World Trade Center, and reporting on the collapse of the Solomon Brothers building, which was the formal name of World Trade Center building number 7. And it's still standing behind her. And you can see it. Now, that video, unfortunately, has been purged from the internet, but there's still a lot of still clips from it that are out there. BBC was asked, you know, how do you explain this? BBC said, we have absolutely no explanation for it. And by the way, we've thrown away the raw video footage, so we can't do any analysis. And as it turns out, both CNN and Fox also reported prematurely on the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7. So what may have happened is somebody got off the timeline. There was a schedule to be kept and a script to be kept. And a lot of it had to do with emptying out the World Trade Center Building number 7, because that's where the Office of Emergency Management was located. And that's where Rudy Giuliani was directing the city's response to 9/11 from that building. And then he was told, you need to leave, the building's going to collapse. And he was interviewed down on the street as he was walking away. And he said, we've been told to evacuate the building because it's about to collapse. Well, then later on, he was asked, who told you this? And at first, he changed his story. He said, no, nobody told us. We just knew we had to leave. Okay. One of our callers mentioned Odigo, which is this instant messaging service. And two of its workers received messages before the planes used in the World Trade Center attacks had even left the runway, predicting the attack would happen. Now, Odigo is owned by Israelis, and it provides backbone services for many of the instant messaging services used in the United States of America. Now, the FBI went on in. Apparently, a technician there at Odigo captured the IP of who was sending the warnings. The FBI took that, never heard from that again. So, at this point, it seems relevant to mention the story of the Israeli spy ring. And prior to 9/11, just prior to 9/11, the FBI had uncovered the presence of a massive spy ring inside the United States run by the government of Israel. And it was discovered because drug enforcement police who were going after Israeli drug smugglers who were dealing in things like ecstasy, their raids were being thwarted. The drug lords were somehow getting advance warning. And this led back to some of the companies owned by Israel that are allowed to have access to America's communication system. There's Amdocs, which process billing records, which allows them to know who's calling who. And then there was Converse Infosys, which had built an eavesdropping system built into the phone system. Used to be in the old days, they'd have to use alligator clips and a wire to listen to a phone call. Not with Converse Infosys. Just type in a number on a keyboard anywhere in the country and it would be right there. And somebody had cracked into the police paging network and they were reading off the messages of the impending raids and warning the drug dealers. So they caught the spy ring, largest foreign spy ring ever found in the United States of America. And Carl Cameron did a four-part story on it and over at Fox News, which Fox News subsequently pulled off of their website. And the other talking heads sharing the set with Carl Cameron made a big deal of saying, but there's no evidence to connect these Israeli spies with 9/11. There's absolutely none whatsoever. He thinks they doth protest way too much. Then we have the story of the dancing Israelis. And these five men had set up video cameras aimed at the Twin Towers prior to the attack, indicating they had foreknowledge of what was going to happen, and they were seen congratulating one another afterwards. Police received several calls from angry New Jersey residents claiming Middle Eastern men with a white van were videotaping the disaster with shouts of joy and mockery. One witness said they were like happy, you know. They didn't look shocked to me. And they were seen making fun of the World Trade Center ruins and going to extreme lengths to photograph themselves in front of the wreckage. Now, this is one of the two groups of Israelis who were arrested. And it basically shows foreknowledge. Now, that video that was shot by these Israelis, two of whom were known to be Mossad agents, and they were using urban moving systems as a cover. Moving companies make a great cover for espionage because it makes sense that the truck is going to be there one day and gone the next. And that tape that they shot is still classified to this very day. And the reason for that is very simple. If, in fact, the first impact is on that videotape, it proves these Israelis knew ahead of time what was going to happen. Yet another one that points to the real perpetrators of 9/11 is George Bush's trip to Booker Elementary School down in Sarasota, Florida. And we've all seen the pictures, the video, where Bush is reading a book, My Pet Goat, I think it is, to these elementary school kids. And White House aide Andy Card comes in and whispers in Bush's ear briefly, and then he leaves. And Bush goes back to reading to the kids. Now, later on two separate occasions, Bush said that was when he realized the nation was under attack, because he claimed that he had seen the first impact on the first tower, which was impossible. There was no live video coverage of that first impact. The only video coverage of that first impact was captured by accident by the Nodé brothers, who were shooting a documentary about training an apprentice firefighter and just happened to catch that on tape. And that did not get out onto the network until much, much later that evening. So here's what's going on. If you go back and you look at the video of the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan, you see how fast the Secret Service are trained to move. They just go on instinct, and yet nothing happened. Supposedly, the nation is under attack. There's an unknown number of planes crisscrossing the country, crashing into buildings. And there was actually a drill going on, simulating the hijacking of multiple planes. And that made it hard for the flight controllers in the air traffic control centers to sort out who was doing what. So from the point of view of the Secret Service, if the official story is true, they're sitting in that school. There's an unknown number of planes flying overhead, crashing into buildings. The president's presence at that school was in the media 4 days ahead of time, and there was an airport nearby. What they should have done, what they would have done, is grab the president, run him out, throw him in that beast, and start driving in a random direction to foil a possible inbound. But they didn't do it. And from their inaction, it is clear they knew for a fact the president was not a target that day. And the only way they could know that is the Secret Service and the White House knew what the targets were going to be for the 9/11 aircraft. And I call this article The Dog That Did Not Bark, because it's basically, that was the plot line of a Sherlock Holmes story called The Silver Blaze, where Holmes solves it by the fact that the dog did not bark in the dead of night when the crime occurred. Why? Because the criminal was the dog's master. And yet another interesting little aspect, FEMA was in New York the night before 9/11. Okay, we got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be back after these few words.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're here basically commemorating, I'm not going to say celebrate, the 18th anniversary of 9/11. And just before we went to commercial, I was starting this story where a FEMA official being interviewed on TV made the startling admission that FEMA had been in New York the night before 9/11 happened. And that, of course, got a lot of people very suspicious that this was a staged event involving elements of the United States government. And it's been pointed out, if you look, you know, how ready to go FEMA was in New York, and then you contrast that with their poor performance during Hurricane Katrina. Now, you would think that a hurricane would be something expected and trained for, that they'd be prepared to go, whereas an attack on buildings in New York is something that would probably be outside the training syllabus. But FEMA was there, on the ground in New York the night before it actually happened here. Interestingly enough, FEMA had their own World Trade Center collapse analysis that was basically run by the same principal investigator who had led the FEMA study of the Oklahoma City bombing. And so again, it's all the same circle of people here. All right. All righty. Witnesses reported multiple explosions in the World Trade Center. Khan Deshore, captain of EMS, said somewhere around the middle of the World Trade Center, there was this orange and red flash coming out. Initially, it was just one flash. Then this flash just kept popping all the way around the building, and that building had started to explode. The popping sound, and with each popping sound, it was initially an orange, and then a red flash came out of the building, and it would just go all the way around the building on both sides as far as I could see. Those popping sounds and the explosions were getting bigger, going both up and down, and then all around the building. That's a pretty detailed statement here. Now, when the 9/11 firefighters, first responders, were called to testify before Congress, they were treated rather badly. Firefighter Louis Caccioli was called to testify privately before the 9/11 commission, but walked out on several members of the committee before they finished, feeling like he was being interrogated and cross-examined rather than simply allowed to tell the truth about what he'd seen occurring on the North Tower on 9/11. And he goes on to say that his story was never mentioned in the final report and that he was being put on trial in a courtroom. And he said they were trying to twist his words and make the story fit only what they wanted to hear. And all he wanted to do was tell the truth, and when they wouldn't let him, he walked out. The whole experience was terrible. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about thermite, because World Trade Center has brought a lot of attention to thermite. Now, thermite is a very simple chemical to make. The traces that were found in the debris by researchers were of a very highly refined thermite. And professionally made. But again, the very highest temperature that can be reached by jet fuel burning in air is 1520 degrees Fahrenheit. And days after the collapse of the World Trade Towers, the core of the pile was 500 degrees Fahrenheit hotter than the maximum burning temperature of jet fuel. So everybody's saying, where is all this heat being generated from? Because the fires inside the wreckage of the World Trade Towers burned for months. So conventional fire stoused by millions of gallons of water over a five-month period do not burn hot enough to melt steel. And thermite provides an explanation for the duration and high temperature of the fires, because thermite contains its own supply of oxygen. Somebody wrote me a letter talking about thermite and says, you want to know how nasty that stuff really is? When I was in military training, or when this guy was in military training, his instructor took them all out there and showed them a thermite grenade, which is about the size of a beer can, and he put it on the top of an engine block from a 2.5-ton army truck, a deuce and a half, and he set it off, and it burned all the way through the engine block. Okay, we got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at FrontSight, my experience has been amazing. I've been here now 2 days. I have a 2-day course. I have a 4-day course. Because of my schedule, I took a 2-day course. And just learning so much about the operation of a firearm, the safety of a firearm, how to hold it properly, how to shoot it, how many times to shoot. So much stuff that I had no idea about. The instructors were patient. They're very calm. They recognize that people are inexperienced, and I certainly am and was. I'm better now than I was 2 days ago. But they take your time. You can ask the dumbest question, and Lord knows I ask a number of them, and they very patiently responded. So you just know a lot more about safety, about protecting yourself and protecting your loved ones, which is what this is all about. I took the course with my girlfriend, Nina. It was a lot of fun. And one of the things that they do is they have you train with somebody else, like Nina. Nina's behind me. We both hear the same instruction. And so if I miss something, she can correct me. If she misses something, I can correct her. It also makes you feel more relaxed because you're with somebody you know, and you're with another person who knows about as much or about as little as you know. And so when they fumble around and you're watching them, you don't feel quite as stupid if you fumble around. You can also watch somebody get better and better as you've gotten better and better. So you have some sort of bar so you can tell how much better you're getting. The other thing is, it's just a collegial atmosphere. Nobody felt pressured. Nobody felt stressed. Nobody was screamed at. And some people had been here before. Others were coming here for the very first time. It was a lot of fun and a lot of different people coming from different parts of the country. And I met a lot of interesting people since I've been here. One of the reasons I wanted to come to FrontSight is because I'm a big proponent of the Second Amendment, which is the right to keep and bear arms. People don't really quite understand what the Second Amendment means often. I learned the difference between the kinds of firearms that civilians use that are protected by the Second Amendment and those that are not. The other thing is, what this place shows you is that the Founding Fathers got it right when they felt that the best way to secure a guarantee against a tyrannical government is an armed citizenry. And everybody here is armed. Yet people are responsible. They know what they're doing. They know how to use firearms. And there was no sense of danger whatsoever here. I think that's what the Founding Fathers thought. They thought that everybody, ages, I think it was 17 to 45 or so, were part of the citizen militia, the citizen army, not government army, but citizen army, in order to protect against a tyrannical government. And it shows you in an environment right here at FrontSight that people who are armed, who are responsible, are in fact safe people and can make the environment even more safe. One of the great things about FrontSight, assuming that, for example, you're a teacher and you are thinking about carrying concealed, they will simulate what it's like for a bad guy to come into a classroom so the teacher can have a sort of real-world type of experience and know how to respond and know how to react. He also will provide a free course for any teacher who wants to take one. Come here, and you'll see for yourself. There's a lot of stuff you don't know. So I urge anybody who's got a firearm, anybody who's thinking about getting a firearm, to come to FrontSight and take a course.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're finishing up here on the anniversary of 9/11 and all the reasons why it is so obviously not what the government told us it was. Recently, the Franklin Square and Munson Fire District outside of Queens, New York, made history by becoming the first legislative body in the country to support a new investigation into the events of 9/11. This is coming from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And the resolution was read aloud and passed during a July 24th, 2019 meeting. And calling for the investigation was drafted by Commissioner Christopher Gaiwa and was unanimously approved by the five fire commissioners. So these are basically, they're saying there's overwhelming evidence of pre-planted explosives. Let's down here to, here we are. So it's not too surprising that more Americans are questioning the official 9/11 story as the new evidence contradicts the official narrative. People have been looking into this for a long time. They've had 18 years to look at the events, as it were. They have seen the very obvious attempts by the government to muddy the waters on this issue with claims that there was no plane at the Pentagon disintegration beams, particle beams were being used. But again, these things have to be kept as simple as possible. And even then, they make mistakes. And a good example of that is Flight 93, where it's been speculated that the airplanes were actually under remote control, that there were, in fact, no hijackers on board. And one of the reasons supporting that is that one of the eyewitnesses to the plane hitting the Pentagon said it looked to him like the flight crew was struggling with the controls. And by the way, it was the proper flight crew with the uniforms and everything. It wasn't some guy in a turban. So you need to understand that over at the Pentagon, there was this guy named Dov Zakheim, who was a rabbi, and he was appointed comptroller of the Pentagon by George Bush. Prior to that, he'd been CEO of a company that built remote control systems for aircraft. You may want to think about that one. And the prevailing theory among independent researchers is that the flight crew of Flight 93 regained control of their aircraft. They were able to disconnect the remote control. They were able to locate it, disconnect it, and they were going to land the airplane at the airport. And, of course, that would have blown the whole story wide open because the facts on the airplane didn't match the official story. And that's why the aircraft was shot down. And by the way, again, if you go on out to where Flight 93 supposedly crashed, and by the way, the wreckage was spread out over 8 miles, which tells you the plane came apart high in the air, not on the ground. That, too, has been re-landscaped, and there's a monument there now. And again, erasing the facts on the ground so nobody can take a look. But more and more people are looking at this stuff, and they're saying, yeah, there's something wrong here. And, of course, since then, we've had Saddam's nuclear weapons and Assad's sarin gas. And Americans are coming to realize the extent to which this government lies to us to get our money, to get our obedience, to send us off to war, whether it's torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin or Spanish mine in Havana Harbor or the Lusitania, you know, harmlessly not carrying any weapons to Great Britain. And it goes on and on and on and on. And in the context of that, you come to realize 9/11 isn't a shocking, unique incident. It's business as usual for the United States government. Now, immediately after 9/11, there was another false flag incident involving anthrax. And it was sent to certain politicians, members of the media, some of whom got very, very sick. And the letters were all written and addressed to look like they came from semi-literate Muslims. But eventually it turned out the anthrax contained in them came from USAMRID, a U.S. government biological weapons laboratory. And Judicial Watch sort of blew the whistle that White House staff had been taking the antibiotic Cipro, which is effective against anthrax, a month before 9/11. So there we are. All right, we're going to take a phone call now. The lines are open. Al in Canada, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Do you know of any official government story that has changed?
Well, they always try and refine them and edit them. You know, especially if somebody really does come up with something that calls into doubt the official story, they'll come back and they say, oh, well, what we meant to say is blah, 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 blah.
Because, I mean, we're, over 50 years after John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
The official Warren Commission story, yeah, Ford admitted to moving the bullet hole. And there was a House Assassinations Committee set up, and they proved beyond a shadow of a doubt there had to have been at least one more shooter, if not more.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yet the official story has never changed.
It's still being taught in the school textbooks. Lee Harvey Oswald
yes.
acted alone. John Wilkes Booth acted alone, which is kind of weird because the government executed six other people for the assassination
yep.
of Lincoln.
Yep, all of that. All of it. During World War II, the labor camps in Poland, all those numbers have been drastically reduced, yet that 6 million number is still there. I mean, I can understand that one because it's actually in the Talmud, but...
Yes.
You know, that official story has not changed. And one can be thrown in jail in certain countries.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. If you dare question the revealed truth of the Holocaust, Holocaust denial has been criminalized in a lot of countries. There was even talk in this country for a while about 9/11 denial, about throwing people in prison for refusing to believe the official story of 9/11.
Yep, it continues. That New Zealand shooting, it's against the law to have the video or to have watched it.
Yes.
And I have it, and I've watched it many times, and there are, like, right off the bat, the guy leaves the back hatch open. That's right off the bat. So, you know, this stuff is out there, and everybody knows it's, you know, a lot of people know that it's just pure, you know, FDA, 100% bovine excrement.
Yep.
Unfortunately, like you said, they're still teaching this nonsense in schools, indoctrination centers.
Yes.
Critical thinking is not allowed.
Absolutely.
If someone asks a question. So, the official stories never, ever change.
No, they don't. They get refined
anywhere.
And reworked. To address certain points that are brought up by clever, independent thinking people, but the core part of the story always remains the same.
Yep, it always does. So they have their patsy, and that's it. They're sticking to it, and sometimes they double down on the lies. And luckily, there are people like you, you know, with a little bit of technological skill, and boom, you're out there. Opening people's eyes. It's great. I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you very much for those kind words here. And we're going to turn to the domestic politics now here. And down in North Carolina, there was kind of a watershed election that was held yesterday. And it was seen as being significant for Donald Trump. Now, obviously, he was not running in North Carolina, but there was a very tight race in these two congressional special elections between the Republicans and the Democrats. And the Democrats went down there and they spent millions of dollars figuring that if they could get these two people elected, it was going to basically start a momentum toward a Democratic sweep next year. Well, it didn't work on out. Because both Republicans that Donald Trump endorsed won their special congressional elections Tuesday night, giving Trump a symbolic victory as he heads into his reelection. Okay, we're going to take another phone call. Peter in Los Angeles, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. The last caller was talking about how the Holocaust has been criminalized. You can't talk about it. Any revisionism can land you in jail. And I think it's now 17 countries. But
yeah.
They're trying to get that way, Mike, with 911. And they've already done it on the social media, which is if you question 911 or if you're a skeptic on large parts of the, let's face it, largely owned Jewish media, that also will get you a banned. You get deplatformed if you talk about that on, like, YouTube will deplatform you if you talk about it in the wrong way. They've deplatformed and banned Ryan Dawson for his War by Deception on several of his other films for talking about this. So it's... you know, it's already going the same way as the Holocaust thing was. But Mike, I want to tell you, that's how I got onto you. because I started to smell a rat here almost immediately, and I'm looking all over and I'm talking to people and everybody's putting yellow ribbons out and crap like that, and I'm going, well, we got to look at this. And then I discovered you.
Okay.
And I've been following what you're saying. To me, that's a litmus test for people. If they can question that, because it's such a seminal turning point in the history of the country and even the world, and no dissent is tolerated, but if you do dissent, pretty much you're a truth teller. And that's how I got into your show. So.
Well, I appreciate that, but of course the job is a lot easier right now, and that's because pretty much everybody accepts that the government lied to us all about Saddam's nuclear weapons. And whenever I'm talking to anybody about any of these controversial issues, and they say, but you know, the on TV they say it's this way, and I say, is that the same TV that told you Saddam had nuclear weapons? That there'll be a long pause there. And, you know, it's starting to sink into the American people's mind. They get lied to, not once, not twice. The government and the corporate media are lying to you about pretty much everything, from 9/11 to vaccines to GMOs to the condition of the wars that are going on. And I won't accept a government that lies to me. I'm going to have a truthful government or I'll have no government at all.
Yeah, it's continual lying. And Mike, the back then, remember, you could get shouted off the air. It was almost dangerous for the regular media, for the corporate media. I mean, it would turn on you in a heartbeat if you questioned 911. I had a chance several times to meet a guy named William Rodriguez, who was the chief.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, head of all the custodians for both buildings. He's the only guy, I think there are two or three people, who had a master key for every single room in the whole thing. And I've heard him say this several times. There was a bomb from below too, that some of his people had their legs broken on the lower levels, like seven or eight different levels, from the explosion that came from below. As prior to the hitting of the planes, so
yep.
And also they blamed a lot of the fires on the system, the gas system for the office stoves, right? And William Rodriguez says there was no gas system for the office stoves.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's all electric.
Yeah, that's what he said too. He said that's complete crap, and. You know, so at any rate, it's all crap. But one of the questions I wanted to ask him, and anybody who else who follows up on these calls, is it's pretty clear that this is a mass murder that got us into wars where a million people were dead and 50,000 American wounded and millions of people displaced in Europe into Europe and. Destabilized all of Europe, all these horrible trillions of dollars, all these horrible ramifications, and it's pretty well accepted. Everybody, even the dumbest person, can see that there's something rotten here. So, what do we do with the people that we find out the names, the actual people that we find out are behind it? What I'd like to hear what people say. What we should do with people. Who would do that to us? What should be
well? I'm not a violent person, but when you look at the scale of, first of all, the atrocity of just murdering 3,000 people to motivate the nation toward war, to me that's a high crime and misdemeanor. And in fact, I view lying to the public as one of the highest crimes any politician. Any leader can commit against their own people, especially if it's lying to start a war.
And murdering
so,
people.
Removal from office, tar and feathers, take your pick.
Yeah, I would like people to say just death, life in prison. What I'd like just one word or two words, what they believe should be done. But we already know some of these guys, some of them are still around, and for me, death. I think they should go down. But, call me radical.
Who was that caller that we had the other day said, get out the guillotines?
Yes, yeah. These guys, I mean, how much worse can it be? Even the environmental aftermath, where there's all this cancer in lower Manhattan.
I remember the head of the EPA standing there and assuring the first responders they didn't need special breathing gear. The air was perfectly safe, and of course it wasn't. It was filled with asbestos dust. And again, just cold-blooded lying to get what you want. Anyway, listen, Peter, we got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what's really happened? What's really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about our domestic politics. And Michael Flynn is back in the news. And apparently, one of his attorneys, Sidney Powell, basically pointed out discrepancies in the underlying notes taken by FBI agents and requested the original Flynn's FD-302 form. And I don't know why the FBI still does that in this day and age of digital recording, but when they interview somebody, they'll ask questions, the subject will answer, and then an FBI agent writes down his impression of what was being said on this FD-302 form. And it strikes me that this is wide open to misinterpretation, mistakes. You know, you're already one degree of separation from the actual testimony of the interview. But apparently the Department of Justice is now claiming they don't have the original Flynn 302. You know, darn it, it was here just a minute ago. I don't know, maybe it's underneath the rug, or maybe the dog ate it. That's it. You know, the dog ate the 302. Well, apparently transcripts have been released from the General Flynn hearing, and apparently contained within these transcripts is evidence of a memo that would exonerate Flynn. And the Department of Justice, of course, has been dragging its feet about releasing a lot of this equipment. So at this point, Flynn's lawyers are petitioning the court to have the entire case tossed out for egregious conduct by the Department of Justice. And I hope it is tossed out. It was Comey was targeting Flynn right from the beginning here. Okay. apparently, this leftist group declared there would be an impeachment rally on Monday at 11 a.m. on the House side of the Capitol building. But according to Breitbart News, nobody showed up. Not one person. There was the leftist group and the people who were planning on speaking, and there was some of the media. Otherwise, no show. So the American people don't seem to really have a taste for impeachment at this particular point. And it may be simply because people, even people who don't like Trump, even people who have been horribly disappointed in him, like me, understand there's nothing to impeach him for. There are no grounds to impeach him. You're not allowed to impeach a president just because you don't like him. He's got to do something like obstruct justice, like Richard Nixon did. Or sick the IRS on his enemies, which would have been another one of the articles of Nixon's impeachment if he hadn't resigned. So, turning to the international news here, the EU is now creating a defense and space branch to complement NATO. And I think this is a response to the fact that the new incoming head of the EU is objecting to the formation of a grand European Union army. Okay, we're going to do a break for station identification. We got a caller waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.